Hey guys.
Welcome to another episode of Pew Time with Tony.
And Jackie.
And we're going to start off this episode with shooting sports and an apology. Yes. I was called out by my friend Eric for not covering arguably the largest shooting sports match that happened this year.
Right.
And that's my bad.
And it was completely, we talked about it. Days before, we were talking about like all their pictures on Instagram. And
right.
It just didn't make the show notes somehow.
Right.
So.
And that would be the European Handgun Championship.
Yes. With a whopping 1,320 shooters.
Yeah. This took over a week, I think, or right around a week was the full schedule. And it was in Greece. So.
It looked like a lot of fun.
We're going to do the top three in each division to give a shout out, and then special shout out and position for each U.S. member or United States citizen that went and shot at the EHC. So, production had 391 shooters.
That's like
our entire
all
nationals.
Of handgun nationals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, insane. So, third place was Jermaine Romitelli. Second place, Michael Stepan. First place, Eric Graffel.
Surprise, surprise. Right. All hail the king.
Shocker. And we'll give a special shout out. This is also where the most of the U.S. shooters were. 14th place was Casey Reed. 49th place, Matthew Nash. 81st place, Eric Camps. 98th, Matt Hopkins. 178th, Jonathan Carnes.
Mm-hmm.
225, Kaylee Lane, and 301, Susanna Gilgorich Achache. Yes.
Yay, U.S. shooters. Production Optics had 286 shooters. Overall, third place, we have Emil Obriot. Second, Edsel John Gino, and first, Martin Kemenciuk. U.S. shooters, shout out, 15th place, Peyton Garcia, 69th, Bo Wang. Can I just take a moment to say, great job, someone whose last name is Wang is in 69th place.
Jesus.
70th place, Frank Garcia, and 104th place, Angus Hudbell. Oh, I'm sorry, 239th. Maylee Perkins.
Yep. Classic division, 115 shooters. Third place, Alfredo Catalan. Second place, Robert Cernajaj.
Sounds good.
Okay. First place, Bartosz Cesnia. And special shout out to 14th place, Jared Sasquatch Fox. Open division.
Third place, Marcin Tosiewicz. Second, Mikkel Aaron Edens. And first place, Robin Sabo.
Special shout out on there because I forgot to put it. I just know he's there. Bill Drummond took fifth.
Wow. Very good. 33rd place for U.S., you know, of the U.S. shooters. 33rd place goes to Leighton Usthusen. That was a hard one for me. I could usually get those pretty well. 41st, Manuel Rodero, and 215th place, Bob Young.
And there were 235 shooters in open.
Yeah.
Standard division, third place, Giacomo Belzoni. Second place, Raleigh Nathaniel Texan. First place, Khalil Adrian Viray.
See, those were not as difficult of names.
Oh, yeah. We started doing more international matches, and we are going to have a whole lot more people upset.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not listening to our podcast overseas.
No, hopefully you are. Fuck that. Listen.
And I'm sorry. Revolver division, third place, Robert Kroos. Second, Sasha Bach. And first place, Gerard Reeder.
Nice. So again, I apologize for not bringing it up. Remember I was sick? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Excuses, excuses.
I was not expecting that many IPSC or U.S. shooters to be shooting an IPSC match.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah, I'm super proud of you guys. That's awesome. I can't wait for us to be able to
travel internationally. Join Eric as the international couple of mystery.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite fun.
Yes.
And some interesting things came out because they had their general assembly at IPSC as well. So after 2025 World Shoot, IPSC is changing the schedule for World Shoot. It will no longer be every 3 years. It will now be every 4 years. I'd imagine to either, Eric and I talked about this, either to give the clubs more time to build, because a lot of times when they're in foreign countries like this, the range is built. It's not like something that's there.
Oh, wow.
It's built, or they have to prepare to host it because it's such a large match. And European Handgun Championship will also join in switching to every 4 years.
Okay.
They had some cool facts on the website. So, top regions competing in IPSC. Number one, Brazil. Number two, Germany. And number three, the Philippines.
Oh.
More IPSC news. IPSC rejected standard optics, which would be their limited optics, for now, is word for word what it says on the website.
Hmm.
So, not sure what that means, but time will tell.
They've already released the new 2026 location for the European Handgun Championships.
Yep, it's going to be in Hungary. And the location for the 2026 Shotgun World Shoot, which, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Is going to be in Greece.
Is it going to be the same range that they had?
I don't know.
Handgun Championships?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say that's 3 years from now.
I don't know.
I'd be curious to see if they use the same plot of land.
Right.
Or if it's somewhere else.
This weekend we had the Indiana section, which was, if I remember correctly, it was thrown together kind of last minute. Was it not? I thought it was.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't like most of the majors are available at like the beginning of the year to like know what dates are, get registered right for them. This one, I don't think got announced or released until somewhere like into the season already starting, like April, May, something like that, I want to say. Like when the season, like when the weather broke is okay when they released that date.
So 94 shooters total. And match results, starting with limited. Third place, our very own Chicago gunslinger godfather Joe Sanchez.
Yay, Joe.
Second place, Leif Kunkel. First place, Eric Stanley. Congrats, guys. And actually, shout out to Leif. He is running for Area 5 director. So you can check him out to vote. This is also a man that runs GX Products. Leif decided to compete in limited in this match instead of his normal single stack. But he did not change guns. He used his single stack with 8 rounds and mag changes and competed in limited.
Wow, that's impressive. I know he just shot Handgun Nationals single stack.
So,
bravo, sir. Dude,
way to slay. If you would have taken first, man.
On to open, we're going to do top eight. We have eighth place, Jay Graham. Second, Joe Eames. I'm sorry. Sixth, Corey Wyatt. Fifth, Lincoln Carr. Fourth, our very own Chicago gunslinger, John Martello.
Silent assassin.
Third, Nate Polson. Second, another Chicago gunslinger, Alex Sirajewski.
Kinda.
Well, he's a... Well, I mean, technically, we're not in Chicago either.
But we are in the state.
We're local to the Chicagoland area.
I'm just giving Alex shit. He lives in a much freer state than we do. If you guys want to check out Alex's stuff, his view on the shooting sports, and I think he's going to start doing some match footage breakdown, he is Shooting Complex on YouTube.
And Instagram.
And Instagram, yes.
And first place, Daniel Mathias.
You know, also known as the... The Thanos of Steel Challenge.
Appropriately named.
Production. Third place, John Murph Murphy Sr.
We love John.
Second place, Craig Lehman. First place, Jake Martins. Carry Optics. Third place, Craig Silva. Second place, Joshua Espinoza. First place, Joe Ornelius. Special shout out, fifth place, Chicago Gunslinger, another transplant, Andrew Roderick. And then, yes, 26th place, there it is. Sorry, my phone froze. 26th place, Lewis Gilman, another slinger. And, oh, sorry.
It's a two-parter. It's a two-parter.
There was a lot more gunslingers in Carry Optics than I realized. 29th place, Susan Brown. 30th, Dave Cook. And holy shit, John Serafin shot. John, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but shout out to you, buddy. I miss you.
I miss John.
And
since he moved to Tennessee.
Yeah. And then 35th place was Nicole Nick the Gun Chick Hedges. I think that's it, now that I messed up everything. Go ahead, yeah.
It all wouldn't fit on one screen.
Yeah.
PCC, we have third place, David Richmond. Second, Tegan Richmond. And first, Riley Fox. It's actually awesome to see them, like, stacked side by side at a state championship, because we got to shoot with them at the Northern Illinois Championship in Schultz. Squatted with them. Awesome people.
Limited Optics. We're going to do top five because, well, most of the top five was all gunslingers. Fifth place, Nasser Yusuf. Fourth place, Adam Maxwell. Third place, Elmer Rodriguez. Second place, David Colon. First place, Dave the Shooter Del Rosario.
First, second, third, fifth are all slingers.
Yep.
And Lim Ops. Absolutely fantastic job this weekend, guys.
And. Dave, David, and Elmer all beat a Grandmaster.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Smoking, boys.
Yep.
Look out.
So, hell yeah. Slingers, way to represent. Keep killing it, and they completely crushed at Illinois, too. Everyone was showing their trophies recently.
Yeah, all the trophies came in this week that got mailed out for Illinois. Yeah. So, stacks and stacks of plaques.
Yeah. Two, man. Both those matches we weren't at.
No. But we did shoot a lot of fun, really fun matches this year. We did.
All right. Last thing for shooting sports news. I promise. IDPA Worlds happened. Now, I'm one to, like, obviously we don't shoot a ton of IDPA. I do plan to shoot more in 2024. Try a few more matches. I know you want to.
Probably a couple.
Yeah.
Not as many as USPSA because that has my heart, but I want to shoot more than one. I want to have more of an opinion on it than my first and only time.
So this is not meant to be insulting, but I was shocked to find out that there were 385 shooters.
Yeah.
So we'll start it off with the Bug Division, top five. Fifth place, Joe Mitchell. Fourth place, Brett Newcomb. Third place, Al Matter. That's awesome. Second, King Drummond. And first place, Luigi Lee.
Luigi Lee.
And I believe this match, because he won, he has now been classed up. He is now a Bug Division Distinguished Master.
Somebody made an oopsie.
What? What did I do?
You have the same standings for CCP as you do...
Shit!
So, we'll do...
You talk, I'll pull them up.
CPD, which is what division?
Just see.
I'm still not familiar with... Okay, so I'll just...
Custom Defensive Pistol.
Okay. Fifth place, Craig Bellamy. Fourth, Rob Leatham. Third, Brady Harden. Second, Eric France. And first, Glenn Shelby. We have the CO division, which fifth place is Theodore Facer, fourth, Jeremy Story, third, Cameron Templin, second, Eric Sneezny. I like it. I probably screwed it up. I'm sorry, but I like it. And first place, Kevin Harding. That division also, the CO division, had 111 shooters. So almost a third of all the shooters were in CO.
You read the CO division already? I thought you were reading CDP.
I finished that already.
Now you're on CO?
Yes.
Okay. And well, I have CCP ready.
Oh, very good. Onward you go.
CCP, third place, Zachary Mitchell. Second place, Jay Whitaker. First place, Austin Prox.
The ESP, which is Enhanced Service Pistol. That one I know.
Yes.
Fifth place, Brad Aidens. Fourth, Randy Rogers. Third, Gordon Carell. Second, Michael Seeklander. And first, Gorka Ibanez.
Ibanez.
I feel like I've had like a minor like a tongue seizure.
PCC had 32 shooters. Fifth place, Justin Green. Fourth place, Andrew Willingham. Third place, Joseph Murray. Second place, Steve Miles. First place, Justine Williams.
Ah, the Williams sisters. If there's a PCC, they're going to be slaughtering. Revolver. Fifth place, Mark Mandrell. Fourth, Caleb Giddings. Third, Joseph Emmerich. Second, Derek Hill. And first, Jess Christensen.
And last division, Stock Service Pistol had 58 shooters in it. Fifth place, Eric Fusen. Fourth, Mingrin Kwan. Third, Sal Luna. Second, J.J. Rakaza. First place, Nils Jonasson. And a special shout-out to 15th place, our buddy Brandon Powers.
Fantastic job, guys.
Yep.
That's where all the hot shots lies, SSP. So Stock Service Pistol. Tell me a little bit more about that particular division.
Production.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's just production.
Okay.
Do they have a
Do they have a weight limit?
I don't remember the actual rules on it.
And can you, like, is a Shadow 2?
No, it's illegal. It's too heavy.
Okay. Oh, so there is, yeah.
There is. I don't remember what it is, though.
But the Shadow 2 is too heavy for it. Okay.
Yeah, so that's why most people use, like, a SP01.
Okay. Aluminium. Aluminium.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. I feel like we just did this.
Yeah. All right. So, on to the gun news. Man, we're going to have to try and go through this a little quicker because you guys killed it with questions and gun news. So, shall we?
Yes.
Staccato has decided that Staccato is now old enough as a brand to have a heritage edition. Which isn't really what this is about. They realize that everybody liked the look of their 2019 Staccato P, as opposed to the 2020 and newer. So the 2020 and newer have a slightly longer barrel and a half/three-quarter length dust cover rail. The new Heritage P is going to be a 4.15-inch barrel where the rail goes all the way to the front and is flush with the slide.
Mm.
Now, they're calling this a limited run.
What does that mean?
No one knows.
This is going to be like when SIG came out with their first like coyote-colored AXG, and they're like, yeah, they're a limited run. And we're like, what does that mean? They're like, we'll only be making them as long as there's a request for them.
Right.
The hell? So when you stop buying them, we'll stop making them.
Right. So this one has the lightning cuts inside the serrations. That's usually an upgrade for other Staccatos. I will give them credit for this. Their little teaser photo that they did was fantastic. It was a picture where you could just see the top. You couldn't see the rail, obviously. And because they must have learned from Springfield's mistakes that people will edit in overexposed photos to try and see what the outline looks like, they craftily put in patience if you overexpose the photo.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So the word patience pops up if you overexpose.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
It's hilarious. Well done, guys. The price of this limited run pistol of unknown quantity is $3,000. So it starts off more than a standard P.
Yeah. Worth it?
So I love the... I still think it's the best looking one.
Mm-hmm.
The 2019 P by far is the best looking one. I don't know.
I don't know.
Next, Stealth Arms has added a section to the website. When you go into the builder, you can select in stock. And there, if you're lucky enough to find something, you will find
a
pre-built platypus. Now, this can be from someone canceling their order or something along those lines, or something was a wrong piece to this, and they ended up any mixed way. Anyway, these guns are available, or you don't have to wait. The catch is, one, you have to buy it when it's available,
right.
And two, can't do any changes to it.
Mm-hmm.
It will let you open it inside the builder to let you see what options have been selected and what colors everything is, but you cannot edit anything. So if you really want one and don't want to wait, you now technically have a way to speed pass your way to the front of the line.
And buy one that someone else decided they didn't want anymore.
Yep. Jackie forgot her cue.
Yeah, I did. Like, you pointing at me, and I was like, what do you mean, me? What me? Rock Island has done a innovative upgrade to their Rock Island 5.0, calling it the 5.0E, adding an updated Elite Series finish, optic cuts and plate for easy customization, and aggressive serrations for easy manipulation. So, just an upgraded version of their 5.0, which I still haven't seen one in person yet.
Well, I mean, you did. You saw it at a SHOT Show.
Oh, yeah, I mean, in the wild, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not seen one in the wild, for sure.
So, not that anyone's very excited about it, but it's news, and it's there, and we're done.
I want one, because at least the one I shot at SHOT Show was quite nice to shoot. Like, I wouldn't mind having one just to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like those people that bought the Hudson H9.
I love that gun.
I know you do.
I love that gun.
That's why I think this would be a better replacement.
Hmm.
All right. Last part of the news.
I feel like your hand would get eaten up alive by
it
that.
It did.
Oh, yeah.
When I shot at a chest, it was horrible.
Yeah, so maybe you shouldn't say just have one to have one, because you like your hands. This is the reason I want a
high power. And blocks.
That's true. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Last part of gun news. Here's the title of the article that I read. Financial investor Czechoslovak Group, CSG, acquires U.S. Ammo Division and several other Vista Outdoor brands for $1.91 billion.
Dollars.
Not only dollars, it was bought in cash.
Jesus.
So, here is kind of just the news article as it is. I'm sorry, where is it? Shut up. Quiet, you.
All we had to do was get through this one last thing.
Right. All right. So here's the article. The news is the kind that causes a stir because of its implications, including geopolitical ones. The U.S.-based supergroup Vista Outdoors, parent company of as many as 41 major brands, including some historic ammunition and components brands, such as Alliant Powder, CCI, Estate Cartridge, Federal, HEVI Shot, Remington, and Speer, yesterday announced a definitive agreement to sell its sporting product business to CSG for a corporate value of 1.9 billion, about 1.8 billion euros, in an all-cash transaction. This is the next step in Vista Outdoors' plan to split the company into separate entities, previously announced May 5th, 2022. In August, Jason Vanderbrink, president and CEO of Vista Sporting Product, had announced the creation of the Kinetic Group to relaunch and separate ammunition from Vista Outdoors products, such as Fox, Bell, Gyro, Camelback, Camp Chef, Bushnell, Sims Fishing, Foresight, Bushnell Golf, and others. But evidently, this step was overtaken by events, period, that's all that sentence says. Once the sale of the sporting product business to CSG is completed, Vista Outdoors Products business segment will become Revelist Inc., an independent company listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Vanderbrink, who is well aware of the importance of the company's brands to the American hunter, will remain CEO of the sporting products business, and the U.S. headquarters will remain in Anoka, Minnesota. In connection with the transaction, the company's approximately 4,000 employees representing four plants and consumer brands for CCI, Federal, Heavy Shot, Remington, and Spear will provide
continuity of production.
Is that what that says?
Yes.
Is it misspelled? Anyway, the transaction is expected to be concluded in the calendar year of 2024, subject to shareholder approval and receipt of necessary regulatory approvals. So, they did get sold to a group that is in the gun business. CSG is a leading industrial technology holding company operating in five strategic businesses, including defense, aerospace, ammo, mobility, and just business in general. So, kind of a big move, because you also brought up
the other things that have been happening regarding ammunition, right? Like UTM marketed that they are stopping all sales to civilians. Lake City, same thing, stopping sales to civilians. And I just found out about this. Apparently, there was an explosion at the Hornady plant, which I didn't know about until this morning. But yeah, all of this collectively, I feel like is setting the tone for a relapse of 2020's ammunition situation.
I hope not, but people will panic buy and...
Well, we're already seeing that, but with these things added in to the panic buy, I feel like we are potentially at the brink of another, you know, panic purchase, shortage. You know, different companies are already saying that they're not going to be taking orders, period, and some are saying, yeah, we'll continue taking orders for like LE, but no civilian sales, period. So,
Well, consider that shitty.
Super.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it and see what's going on. Hopefully, you guys didn't load all of your primers.
Right. And.
Well, lucky for us, this episode failed to upload this morning, but it allows us to talk about the new Smith & Wesson at the tail end of gun news that came out today that was supposed to come out yesterday, or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whenever the day is. It was supposed to come out on Friday, or Thursday.
Yeah, the release is supposed to be Thursday.
Okay, so we finally get to talk about it. Talk about it we shall?
Yes. Smith & Wesson's newest product is called the Smith & Wesson Response.
Pause. Let's talk about this naming structure that Smith & Wesson has decided to do.
Right, they have, what you're saying, the Equalizer.
Equalizer.
Their Shield. Whole AR line is the Volunteer series. Yeah. So, this one is called the Response. It is a 9mm PCC with a 16-inch barrel, so full-length rifle barrel.
16.5.
Oh, my apologies.
Just saying.
With a 15-inch handguard. It is M-locked at the 3, 6, and 9 o'clock with a full pick rail across the top.
Standard blowback. This is the part of the gun that I am a little concerned with.
I knew you were going to jump in to cover this particular part, because if I covered it, you would cut me off. Go on.
The upper and lower are polymer. And they have their new... the hell do they call it? What's it called? They have a flex something?
Oh, their flex mag magwell.
Yes.
An interchangeable flex mag magwell.
Yeah. So they've done I don't want to say pretty, because it actually doesn't look good.
No, just a different style of doing the same thing that Ruger did with their PC carbine and their PC charger.
Yeah.
Where the Ruger PC carbine and charger, you take the upper off, you lift out the insert and drop the new insert in to change it from the Ruger SR9 to, or the Ruger American, depending on which model you have, to the Glock Mag insert. This one gives you the M&P, Smith M&P Magwell, but they also include the Glock Magwell. So rather than taking it apart and lifting a piece out, putting it back together, this one comes off of the front. Like, the entire Magwell itself changes out. So it's not the insert inside of the Magwell, it's the Magwell itself.
Right. Which I do think is better in the essence that it'll be a little bit more structurally sound. That's the one thing about, like, the PCs, they tend to fit a little loosey-goosey. Which, for a PCC, maybe isn't necessarily a bad thing. Help with some feeding. But they're made of polymer, which makes, in turn, does make the gun very light. The whole gun with an empty magazine is like 6 pounds.
Right.
Crazy light.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the polymer upper and lower. Oh, and the charging handle.
Also polymer.
Also polymer. So expect to change that immediately.
Yeah. But just like they do on a lot of their guns, that they have their standard as the M&P. They have the interchangeable palm swells, small, medium, medium, large, and large.
Mm-hmm.
You can swap up your grip size. It does come with a collapsible multi-position MOE stock. And we were debating on, before we actually got to see the MSRP, what we thought it would be. And we were both a little higher than expected.
Yeah.
I
was way higher, but I wasn't accounting for
the fact that it was mostly polymer.
Right.
So my guess was $899. It's actually $799 is MSRP.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of us should play The Price is Right. The price is wrong, bitch.
So I'm sure I'll mess with one. I'm sure we'll mess with it at SHOT Show. I looking forward to seeing how this thing holds up, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it does function like an AR, you know, it puts the mag release where you want it. Like, it does its job that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how well it's going to hold up. All right, let's jump into the questions.
So we got so many questions this week. Yeah. I'm super, super excited. So the first one that came in was this back to, a playoff last week's question.
Yeah, so they responded to our post on Instagram about last week's episode and then thought it would be fun and challenging to do a Limops gun for $800. Mm-hmm. Instead of, we did last week, we helped someone try and decide on what to spend it on for $3,000.
Right. So I feel like we're just going to be like a carry optics gun.
Essentially, that's kind of what you're thinking, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because another question that came in.
Oh, no, we're not done with this.
Well, no, I was going to say, I feel like the two that followed each other, both of those questions, could essentially answer themselves.
Well, they weren't a question. The other one was just a note for me. Someone recommended and said, hey, would you do a 320 for a Limops gun?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, 320 could be a good Limops gun.
Yeah. But keeping it under 8 with the optic and everything.
Well, I don't think it's the optic and everything. $800, I'm assuming you're talking just the gun.
I would hope so. Yeah, because otherwise you get like a Ruger.
Yeah.
A Taurus G3 Toro.
Right.
with a good red dot on it.
I mean, for $800, you could probably get a Toro on sale, and if you were lucky enough to find an SRO on sale, there you go.
Yeah, and base pads. So, $800 Limops gun. Nothing is coming to mind that's going to be hammer fired, like a single action style. So I'm thinking we're going to have to go striker fired. Limops, you know, the Canics
mm-hmm.
have the Magwell built onto them. So you're getting that benefit of the extra feature you're allowed to have in Limops, and they all come optic ready. So I feel like a Rival would be like a really great option.
You could probably get a Rival Steel, right?
I think the steels are a little more, I think they're like closer to like the 8.5-9 range.
Oh, $50 more?
I mean, to legitimately keep it like in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that would be a really good option.
You can't think of a hammer-fired gun, huh?
Like, I'm trying to think, like, maybe the CZs. I mean, the H&Ks are going to be more.
Yeah.
Right? The CZs. I mean, like, they're going to be in, like, the low to mid sevens. But they're not going to be optic ready. Unless right. you're going with a more expensive one anyways, and then you're definitely not in budget.
Well, I have my answer, since we want to be creative. Mm-hmm. Mine is you buy a 5-inch M&P 2.0, mm-hmm. and you can pick those up all day for under $600, brand new, mm-hmm. on GunBroker. All day.
Okay.
With or without a safety. That leaves you money on the table to upgrade it to get kind of fine-tuned the way that you'd want it. So, that leaves you money.
Magcatch, Magwell, base pads.
Magwell. So now if you wanted to add weight, you have money to put a big, giant brass Magwell on.
Okay.
And you have money to buy a... You can't do the real one, but if you wanted to buy like a TLR-1 or a copy of an X300 that has the same style body and then fill it with lead shot, you now have quite heavy M&P.
Yeah.
And to keep the price within there, you should be able to pick up a Magwell, that flashlight, cut open some shotgun shells that you have lying around, and an Apex trigger.
Well, you're saying under six, and the Apex trigger alone, and the Magwell, and the flashlight. No.
Yeah. Here, I'll do it.
No. Okay. 100%. Guys, make sure that if you're following Tony's numbers here, he's not the numbers guy here, and you should definitely be looking at Black Friday specials if you want to keep this under 800.
All right, so it's under six already for the M&P, right? $180.
Okay, and that puts you just under eight then.
No.
What? Where are you getting just under six? 180 is just under right eight. Here.
So you get the polymer one. 110.
Okay.
So that's $600. That's 710. Right?
Is 560 for the gun.
Okay. 560 for the gun.
670.
Yeah. So we're not you at 700. You can't
mathing.
So 670.
Uh-huh.
Right? And...
He's gonna have an entire spreadsheet for you guys. And he's gonna... publish it, and you guys can actually like look through his math because it'll automatically add everything up for you. Oh my gosh.
All right,
some Amazon knockoff X300s. What are we looking at for price here?
I don't know. It's not showing it to me now.
You are failing.
All right, X300 clone. Ha-ha. Here we go.
All right. The cheapest one is, was that $32, $79, $38.
All right. So figure you're going to spend $100. What am I at?
$770.
Okay.
You have $30 for that brass Magwell, bro. All
right. Hold
on. Okay. So clearly it's not happening. You can even take off the light and not get the Apex and keep that nice MP 2.0 trigger.
You want the Apex. You 100% want the Apex. But maybe not the light. Maybe you don't want it to be nose heavy. You want the weight on the rear. So you might have to choose between the light and the
press Magwell. And the Magwell. That, I would say, would be...
All right.
I would say that that's feasible
for under 8. You guys can start to see how... I'm not very good at budgeting even my own stuff. Like, it's only going to cost this much to build this gun.
I'm like, holy shit, where did our gun fund money go? Cricket.
See, what happened was...
Right.
I miscalculated.
This is how we get into, like, all of our deep discussions on what actually went into this gun. And then Tony gets in trouble.
Not in trouble. I just get...
Question. Temporarily suspended from future gun accessory purchases. Temporary suspension. Okay, so an M&P with some upgrades would be yours.
I think an M&P and upgrades is a good choice.
Mine would be a rival.
Okay. Man, I wonder if I did some digging, if I could actually legitimately find you a hammer fire gun.
I mean, like, going with a pre-owned gun, probably.
Sure, but even then, like, what is it going to be? Like, for $800?
Right. What about a witness?
No. Hold on. What are they going for? Let's check Gun Broker real quick. Rock Island.
Nothing. Ultra. Nothing good comes of you doing anything on Gun Broker.
Boom.
All right.
You can get a Rock Island TAC Ultra for under $800 for $760.
Yep. That'd be a good one.
So basically, it's like shooting the old school para. The guns, they're heavy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
There are aftermarket parts out there. Taylor Freelance does make extended base pads for it. And I think they actually make the magwell for it, too, later if you wanted to upgrade to get, like, a big mouth magwell on it. But you can mess with these and tune these. I mean, early Three Gunners, when Three Gun Nation was around, tons of people used these.
Mm-hmm.
The trick now, though, is you're going to have to send it out to get cut somewhere. It's going to cost you probably $100, $150.
Yeah.
So you've already technically gone over budget, but you get a wide body 9-10-11. So I think that counts, right? I get a little leeway with that.
Yeah. If it was me budgeting your $800, you might have a little leeway. Let's just hope that whoever has this $800 budget has as forgiving of a wife as you do.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So let's agree that the TAC Ultra plus some milling would be a great option. The M&P with some upgrades, a great option. And the Rival. And those would be the three that I would start looking at if Lim Ops is what you want to do and you want to be ready to run right away. Then, in which case, I guess not do the Rock Island because you still have shit to do.
I kind of think we should do a build on the Rock Island now. We should find one and build it for a limited optics gun. What do you think?
I feel like we should do like a mini series on some of these like build challenge questions.
Yeah. Yeah, good idea.
Let us know if you guys want to see that, because this is clearly a passion of Tony's, is trying to weasel his way around budgeting, I'm air quoting, budgeting his gun accessories and projects.
I'm willing
and
to bet.
If you can't currently build your own, you can virtually build something that someone challenges you to, because there's nothing, I love a good sale and a good deal. You will find any deal on gun stuff, and I feel like this is your calling. So, if you guys want to see that, make sure that you send us a DM. Send him a DM. Send me a DM. It doesn't matter. Let us know if that's something you guys want, because I feel like that's going to be really good.
And where would they send those DMs?
Well, we're going to close out the episode and let you know. So you stick around till the end.
At Laugh and Load.
At Laugh and Load on all the social medias. Or send us an email at pewtimepodcast@gmail.com.
We did get a couple questions like, that's not a real gun, is it? Regarding the picture I put up for it, which was the hard chrome Shadow 2 with blue grips. That is indeed a real gun. That is a very, very nice gun. Still one of the sexiest Shadow 2s on the planet.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
And that is the gun I shot at my very first Nationals.
Because you have super awesome friends that are there for you.
Yes. Thanks, Joe. Love you. love you long time. Yes, I love you long time as well. Next. CZ Shadow 2 or Stealth Arms Platypus. Asking for a friend. Sure you are.
So, I have a feeling I know exactly... Yeah, I do. Yes, I know exactly who this question was from. This is a great question. You have shot both or have handled one of them. Which one do you like better in your hands? And you know me personally, so tell me when and I'll bring it and you can shoot mine, my platypus, to make your decision. But if I had to choose one or the other, and I was just talking to somebody about this a couple days ago, the two guns that I currently have that I shoot the absolute best with are my Shadow 2 and my Platypus. Like, the can't miss, back to zero, like, can shoot like an absolute maniac and not go off the paper. Two best guns that I own. That would be super hard for me to tell you one or the other. Like, on one hand, you have like a steel frame tack driver, and the other hand you have a lighter weight aluminum, like, capability of like almost unlimited capacity with the Glock mags and lots of options. Like, you build it yourself. You can literally fine tune every aspect of the gun down to what red dot you want it to be cut for. The Shadow 2 is as is, take it or leave it.
Well, you can still
You can customize it, yes. But to get a gun new in the box at the dealer when you sign that form and you walk out with it, and it's everything you ever wanted without having to do anything to it. That feeling. Ugh. So I would say the Platypus.
Okay. All right. Next question we had. Recommend an optic for an AR platform in 5.56 out to, say, 300 to 600 yards.
So I would say the Vortex Strike Eagle 1 to 8, because it gives you that longer distance. You know, 300 and 600 yards, there is a difference, right, in the magnification you'll be using. So the more option you can give yourself in that variability is good. I like the screen on the Strike Eagle. I like the, you know, windage and the elevation markers on the lens. I really love that scope. Actually, I have it and am awaiting the installation on something that I have not chosen yet that I want to shoot long distance. Yeah. And I'm thinking I'm probably going to end up investing in like a really nice Ruger Precision bolt action down the road and dabbling.
This one's a little hard to kind of do it justice, because it's really hard if you don't give a budget, especially with scopes.
Right.
So on the lower end, I say a Strike Eagle or the SIG MSR Tango. You can get a 1 to 6 MSR Tango with a mount for like $340. If you want to go up and get the new one, the MSR Tango 1 to 10, that's under $700. Then you start going up to, say, the Viper PST Vortex 1 to 10. I think those are $2,500. Or a Tango 6T, which is the new LPVO that the military went with. Those are about $2,200.
It's quite a big price jump.
Yeah, once you get into the Viper and to the 6T. Now, I've personally messed with the MSR Tango, and it's super clear, and I love the Strike Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So, can't go wrong there. And I would also tell you to look at Primary Arms. Primary Arms came out with their GLX 1-10, and those are only $800. So it's really dependent on your budget. You should have waited until Smith & Wesson announced their new thing. Yes, we should have, but we wanted to get the podcast out as soon as possible. I'm sure we'll make a little blurb about it.
A post, yeah.
Blurb. Blurb? Did anybody blurb? What's a blurb? Blog? Blurb?
Yeah, a post.
I don't know where that came from. Carry, compete, crush, ATV, cooler cart, or golf cart?
So I actually had to look up, I'm like, it sounds like cooler cart would be self-explanatory, and it literally is, and I don't understand why they exist. Although, like, bringing my snacks...
been to nearly enough NASCAR events.
Bringing my snacks with me seems like it should be more of a priority. As opposed to putting my snacks in a cooler next to my range bag. Like, I could just sit on my cooler and put my range bag on my back and then go. So that seems really a smart move.
They have a weld-it-yourself chassis kit.
Oh my gosh. So the...
Guys, I sense another build.
Oh my goodness. So the one I'm going to crush is going to be the cooler cart.
Oh, you.
Although I guess it would be easier to conceal than anything, right? Like, I'm still... Right, I haven't so made
I'm
my decision.
I'm going to change the rules to carry, compete, crush, and we're going to make it everyday, range day, crush.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. So I'm like, I don't, yeah. No comprehendo. Okay, so the
no
everyday.
No comprehendo, it's no comprendo.
I'm like, I'm not comprehending.
I understand what no comprende.
Oh. What did I say?
Comprehendo.
Oh my God.
What the fuck was that?
That was like the worst Spanglish ever. That is Spanish, right? Okay. No. So the everyday would be the the everyday would be the cooler cart because snacks are life every day. The golf cart would get crushed. I've seen golf carts go fast. I've also seen them flip on golf hills and they're not super steep. So I would crush the golf cart.
Holy shit!
And
these
the ATV
$6,000. Sorry, go ahead.
And the ATV would be my range one. So range vehicle is the ATV. The everyday one is the cooler cart. I feel like the cooler cart, like it just, like it makes sense, right? Like, oh, hey, I got to go run to the corner real quick, but I need somewhere to put the beer on the ride home because you just ride your little cooler cart down to the 7-Eleven and you buy your beer and you put that shit in the cooler, then you fucking sit on it and you drive home. You're not carrying bags.
Yeah, you know what that makes you look like?
A
somebody
redneck?
With multiple DUIs.
Oh. Well, it's in a container. They're sealed. You're not drinking them on your way home. I mean, you got a little motorized bike. Is it really a DUI?
No, you're on the bike because you have the DUIs.
Oh, I see. I got you.
All right, so I am crushing the cooler cart because I don't think I'd be able to go at it faster than a walking pace with my weight.
Okay.
I am dailying the golf cart because you can get bigger ones and put beds on them. And
what?
Yeah. Like little truck beds and stuff. Yeah. And then my range toy is obviously an ATV.
Wow. So we're going to have twinsy ATVs at the range.
Sure. Even though most ranges don't allow
And you
to
can cart
them,
me but... around on my king-size bed in the back of your your golf cart. And I'll bring you beers from 7-Eleven in my cooler. And as funny as that we don't drink. So just be like, hey, babe, we need like 50 bottles of Gatorade for the range. Can you go run to 7-Eleven? Okay, let me take my little cooler cart. That's more like how it would go.
Pretty much. Can we petition to abolish major power factor? These race guns aren't at a disadvantage. So, this is... I actually don't... Phil, I don't know who you are. Maybe I do. 312 Phil? Maybe I do. But it doesn't sound like you shoot open. And people that generally say this are people that don't shoot open or don't shoot a major power factor division. So the answer is no. No, we can't abolish it. And two, it's not so much that the gun is at a disadvantage. It's you have to change the way you play the game. Speed has a lot more of a weight now. Now you gotta go. I used to be the same way of thinking. I shot a buddy's open gun. I'm like, oh, man, this thing's accurate. This thing's, like, cheating. And he just looked at me and he goes, right. Now try and do that really fast. Because that's what you have to do. Like, it highlights so much of the other skills, like transitions and, you know, acquiring distance, shooting at distance at a faster rate. There's just so many other things that it puts so much weight onto that you can get away with major. Because now you're talking like, oh, that's a Charlie. So you just play the game a little bit different.
Right.
I don't look at it as so much... The guns are built to have all those advantages because of open division. not Correct. Because of the power factor.
And I feel like the same goes for single stack, where you have your major and your minor. You're getting benefit of more rounds by shooting minor, but you're getting benefit, less rounds, but more benefit on points shooting
major. Yeah, I can see that single stack, it makes sense in that way. I mean, that doesn't make a bit of difference in open, but... And I don't know if you've ever shot a 40 in limited. It makes a difference.
Right.
I mean, you can get them soft, but not as soft as you can get a 9.
Right.
So that's a no for me, dog. Will you move already? Soon. Cannot come soon enough. Soon.
Agreed.
If you didn't work in the gun industry, what would you be doing with your career?
What would you like to be doing with your career? This is a wish list. I would definitely be in the metalworking industry.
No.
Yeah. Welding, machine shop, fabricating, mostly welding.
No.
Lathe work, mill work. CNC, not so much. The programming part, I find interest in it, but I probably would go crazy if it was a job I had to do every day.
Yeah. I would see myself probably back at a racetrack of some sort, whether on a race team or, driving would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I am pretty quick, but whether it's a race team, something along those lines, probably something in the racing world. When is the realistic time to change division in USPSA? During your off season.
Right. Not a month before nationals.
Yeah.
Not midway through, definitely during the off season. If you live in a place where it's gorgeous all year round and you don't really have an off season, I would do the change after your last big major, whether that's nationals or world shoot, or, you're shooting at the local level and you go and shoot your first state championship. After that, do your change and prepare for next year.
Yeah. Depending on how well trained you are and how much experience you have, I would say a good month to 2 months, if possible. Like, if you're doing it in between, like, if you want to shoot carry optics at the beginning of the year, train all winter leading up to carry optics nationals, and then right after nationals, switch to whatever else.
Yep.
Will you both shoot a nationals in 2024? I would say yes.
I think both of us will shoot nationals. And it's back in Alabama next year for like most of the handgun nationals, I think.
Except carry optics.
Yeah. Carry optics is in Ohio, but I loved the... I mean, obviously I didn't shoot the range in Ohio, but I loved the range in Alabama, Talladega.
Mm-hmm.
Just gorgeous. I would absolutely love to shoot nationals again.
So, yeah, I would say we're probably planning on it.
I got 80% right now.
How much chunk pork could a chunk pork chunk if a chunk pork could chunk pork?
I was really hoping you were going to let me read that because I was going to say it like a chipmunk.
Well, go ahead.
Now I'm on the spot. No.
Well, come on. Let's hear it, Alvin.
How much chunk could a chunk pork chunk if a chunk pork could chunk chunk? Could fuck. Pork.
We're going to wait here until you get it right.
No, we're not. We are absolutely not. So, quite a bit from what I've heard.
Yeah, Vinny, yeah. Chunk port all the things. Although, the chunk port's cool, but the Genghis comp, cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe how much chunk port could a chunk port chunk if a chunk port could chunk port, and that would be equal to the size of a Genghis comp.
Right, that much chunk.
Yes.
That's a good question.
Yeah. What brands and style of the gun safe would you recommend? 3 different levels, budget, medium, and no limit. They need to be something you would actually use if you were to be the person buying them. Interesting. Okay.
So I already have had my eye on like the safe that I would like.
Okay, so have I. So let's see if we interact.
I do wish that it was bigger. Like, I wish it was bigger. That's the only downside.
See, and I can already tell we're not going to agree, because I am certainly not looking at tiny safes.
Yeah. I mean, I more so like all of the features. Like,
yeah.
It's a Vol-Tec. It's R, like RIE or something. RS 800. So Wi-Fi enabled, instant alerts, biometric, modular interior. So obviously everything inside, you can like change it and move it around. 8 rifles and pistols. It's got like the thumbprint thing on the front, plus the keypad. And it also has a small little disc, I guess, that you can put in a little carrier or you can keep it with you. And it has a little thumb thing on it too. And I don't remember what the range on it is, like 20, 30 feet. You can be on your way to the safe, holding that button, putting your thumb on it, and your safe is already working its way to opening for you by the time you get to it. That is super cool. So that was like a big selling point. I saw them and I got to see like a demo on them at, I don't remember if it was the NRA show or SHOT Show.
I think it was SHOT Show.
A few years back. And ever since then, I'm like, oh my God, if I get a safe, that's going to be it. Although, like, very clearly, like, we would need a bigger safe than the 8 rifle and some pistols option.
Yeah. But you like the Vault-Tec. And the price on those, depending if you get the Plus model or the standard model, is either $1,900 or $2,200, basically. It's really hard to do this when you don't actually give a budget. So we'll start on the low end. And you can find safes at Home Depot or Menards. And if you just need a... When you say safe, I'm assuming you mean like a fireproof locking one.
Right. You can pick up something that's going to accommodate long guns, not just handguns.
Right. You can pick up a Stack-On Elite, all steel, 30-minute fireproof. And it says it'll hold up to 30 firearms. Don't ever believe that, because that's based on, like, only FUD guns with no scopes and only iron sights. They basically try and line up...
Ruger 10-22s.
Yeah, Ruger 10-22s or black powder rifles. And like, hey, you fit 30 of them bitches in there.
Right.
But you can pick up a Stack-On 30-gun safe for $800.
Right.
If you need something just to have something. Now, you can also move up a little bit from there and get bigger ones. I mean, for less than $1,000, they have a 72-gun safe. That's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, Stack-On's going to be your affordable brand.
Right.
Your base model. I mean, they're good and dependable. I mean, I have like a small Stack-On, or maybe two. I have one or two small Stack-On like pistol cases, pistol lock boxes, the metal ones. And they're really well built. The electronics are fantastic. I haven't had issues with any of them. One of them's an RFID reader. You slap the card or your watch band or whatever. You stick the thing on and
yeah, normally it opens it up. When your safe goes up in price, it usually is because it goes up in fire rating and it has more tumblers in it. More tumblers, and it has more lock rods. Like corner locking rods and center lock rods. Like that's generally why it increases in price. For the middle of the road, I'm actually quite a big fan of the company called SnapSafe. Now, this company, they're not sponsored by, or we're not sponsored by them, although I would totally be open to that.
Right. Oh!
Yes.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh! Okay. Yes. I know exactly what this is now.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Okay, go ahead and talk all about it.
So, this I would say is the middle of the road for pricing. You can get... There are three different sizes. They have the Titan, Super Titan, and then Super Titan Double Door. And they range from $2,000 up to $3,300. The cool thing about these safes is, and this is, I would tell everyone if you're safe shopping, make sure it is marked delivery in the house. Not just delivery to the house. As someone that used to deliver safes, that is a big difference. That's the difference from me pulling the truck up and putting it at the foot of your driveway and going, bye, versus actually bringing it into the house.
Right.
Now, SnapSafe, for those that maybe have a smaller house, maybe rent a house, and it's not you don't want to have to pay to bring this big, beautiful safe in, but you still need a larger safe. The Super Titan Double Door is actually the Double XL Double Door. So that's $3,800. It says 36 long guns for the XL and 56 long guns for the Double XL. So plenty of room, right? The cool thing about these is they are fire rated and they have 9-gauge steel exterior walls. But when you receive them at the house, you receive them the same way that IKEA furniture is packaged. Everything is taken apart. You assemble these safes in the house.
Fantastic.
You put the floor down, you bolt the walls on, the top on, you put the doors on.
All from the inside, obviously. All from the inside. So it can't be taken apart from the outside.
Right. But it is an awesome feature. They're not crazy amounts of money. You can get electronic keypads, or they have electronic keypads on them. I think middle of the road prices, this is perfect. Now, if you want to go like crazy exotic, you can go up to like Liberty Safe where they're a lot more money. There was another one. There's a big fancy one that got like a Lazy Susan in it.
Oh.
Who makes those?
Oh, fuck. I don't remember.
Anyway, there's big extravagant ones, but for the final category where no limit, I would just build a safe room.
Right.
I'd put a big vault door on there. I'd make sure everything is secure. If I had no, you know, if a budget wasn't a concern, I would just do an entire room.
Yep.
Or a garage.
Go big or go home.
Or a warehouse.
Right.
You know, for ample storage.
Ample. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I forgot about SnapSafe.
It's been on my list forever.
I know it has been, which is why I'm kind of embarrassed that I forgot about its existence. Having this whole conversation, and I'm sitting there going, I know it's smaller, but it has all the toys on it. And that was completely, like, my whole logic behind, like, the extravagant safe was just the electronic bells and whistles. No. That isn't necessary, but costs quite a bit more. Yeah. Double what a Snap-on runs for the same size.
Not Snap-on, SnapSafe.
No. This
Stack-on.
Stack-on.
Yeah.
Snap-on is tools.
Yeah. So, those would be my picks. Carry, compete, crush. Battle of the Sega Pattern Magazine Guns. Platypus 320. Oracle 2311. And the Icarus P320. I mean, technically the Icarus isn't its own gun.
Right, it's just, you know, the 320 with an Icarus module is, I imagine, what they're getting at.
Unless they're talking about that new Agency Arms 320. I don't know if they actually released that as, like, a complete gun. Which one are you looking at? Which one are you thinking?
So, man, that's hard. Right? I would probably...
That's what she said.
Like, I love my 320, but I love my Platypus more. And I've only shot the Oracle... twice. I test fired one, but I only shot like 5 rounds through it the first time. So I feel like the Oracle, the one I shot at least, was the polymer frame. So that would be the easiest of them to carry.
You shot the pro model at TriggerCon.
But the first one I ever shot was the polymer one.
Right.
That was at GunCon.
Right.
But is the pro model available yet? Or is it like
I believe by the end of this year, the Pro model will be available. Okay. Technically, the 320 Platypus isn't available.
Except mine.
Right. So, let's just say Pro model to keep it...
To keep it, like, you know, as if they were all an option.
Yeah, if they're all an aluminum frame P320 option is what I got out of it.
Okay. I have to stick with competing with the Platypus 320.
Okay.
Because shooting it, I shot it better than I've ever shot my 320s. And I didn't dislike shooting the Oracle 2311. I need more time behind it to have like a better formulated opinion. So at this point, I would say... But the trigger's so much nicer than a regular 320.
Make your decision. This isn't rocket science.
I feel like it is, though. I'm going to
spit it out
like crazy. Okay, so pause. I'm going to compete.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to compete with the Platypus 320, carry the Oracle, and crush the Icarus 320.
She's crushing Black Betty.
I know. But if I'm competing, like, I bought her, not bought, built, we built her for competition. And if I'm going to be competing with the Platypus, then I'm certainly not going to be carrying
right.
that. But
so yeah. I am going to compete with the Platypus. I'm going to crush the Icarus. And I'm going to carry the Oracle 2311 because you did not specify. And they do make a compact.
But that was the one I shot at GunCon, right. was the compact polymer. Yeah. That's why I said it originally. You're like,
yeah, but they have the Pro Model. This is the thing. I do see Oracle coming out with the grip modules to purchase. So even if I brought a Pro Model later down the road, I'm sure I can go, man, I want to buy a compact polymer grip for it.
Well, you could do the same thing with the Icarus.
Yeah, but that's still a 320.
Yeah, that's true. So we're both going to be crushing the OG.
Yeah. Yep.
And then competing with the Platypi. And is carrying
OG oops gun in the 320's case or what?
What?
That's what happens when it goes off in the holster. Oops gun.
Oh, that's funny. That's fucked up, but that's funny.
All right. If guns could shoot something other than bullets, what would they be, or what would be the funniest thing they'd shoot?
Little confetti dicks.
We're so fucked up because I was going to say dildos. Tiny little dildos. Just pew pew.
I was thinking, you know how like you see like all those Instagram videos and people have like those tiny little miniature babies? They're like, they get them for like baby showers. Yeah. They're tiny little like that, but dicks. Like a whole bag of them. And you just put them in like a Tic Tac container. And then you just pew pew pew.
Or if some way, do you remember those stupid toys that were like a half a sphere and you would fold them inside out and they would pop up?
Yes.
If you could do that, so when you hit something, it would stick to them and then pop off.
Oh, yes. Remember those little, like, they're little plastic and they're hinged at the waist and it's like a little person and their hands were little jelly balls and their feet were little jelly balls. So when you threw them against the window, they would go flop, 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 flop and be like, that. With dicks and balls.
Or those stupid suction balls. I think that'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are all like a giant ball and they're just
bunch covered of suction cups all over it. So whatever it shoots at, it sticks to it until it doesn't. And then it just...
Right.
All the way down. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. That would be so fun.
What animal species, if taught how to shoot firearms, would without a doubt take over the human population? You guys are killing it with these questions. These are so fun. So which ones?
Well, I mean, monkeys seem to be, like, the most obvious answer because they have the proper dexterity to actually, like, grip
hold. It just says, if taught how. Like, if they could.
If taught how to shoot.
Yeah, if you're going with monkeys.
Yeah.
I'm going with bears. Because, well, that's a fucking bear.
Right, they don't need a gun, though.
But that's it's just saying if. If they were learned, like, basically if Planet of the Apes happened, but replace apes with whatever else you want.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd be fucked if bears learned how to shoot, not the Chicago Bears. They would still suck. Matter of fact, so would the Cubs. So.
All the bears.
Oh, God. But no, I think bears. Just because as a mammal, I can't see anything scarier than a bear. They're ludicrously strong. They have knives for hands.
What kind of gun would they shoot a Barrett?
Please no. I'm going to shut the podcast off right now. Next question. Good God. Is there an IPSC Nationals 2024 in April? I do not believe it's an IPSC Nationals in 2024. I did find two IPSC handgun matches, one in 2023 and one in 2024. So November 16th in Florida is the U.S. IPSC Nationals. And then in February 1st of 2024 is the USA Extreme Open, also in Florida. And last question, I have a notification to buy the Gerson 2311 4.25-inch barrel. You are my deciding factor. Buy it or no?
You forgot the emoji. It's the face emoji. We probably both almost spit on each other making that face and trying to do the noise at the same time while facing each other.
Oh, that would fuck me up.
That was funny. So that was the emoji. I will say, when I ripped that gun, like really let it rip, I was like ringing the steel over and over again. I am a huge fan of that gun. Like, if I like the short one that much, the full size, look out, baby. Like, that was fantastic. And I will say that was probably the funniest part of that entire trip was my reaction to that gun.
Well, you shot the three. Oh my God, that really fucked my voice up.
Yeah. Oh, it was the 3-inch.
Yeah, you shot the three. So the 4.25 would be good.
Can you guys imagine, if you will, a full-size 2011 grip with a 3-inch barrel? Not counting how it feels and looks in the hand, just looking at the top of it. Shooting so well with something so short. Wow, I can't believe how small it is. It's not abnormal to say about a 2011. It's totally normal. And yes, the grip looks like a gigantic monster in my hand. I was talking about the slide. 3-inch.
I know.
I did so well. Do it.
You're not answering this question.
Buy that gun.
Yeah, dude. I would buy it. So here's the only downside I see currently. You're going to have to wait or find a machine shop that'll make you a conversion plate if you want to run a bigger dot.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that, didn't we?
Because they're only cut for RMSC dots. There are people out there that make conversion plates, or I think currently the best dot that you could put on that gun without any plates would be the Holosun EPS, because that bolts directly to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yep, buy it.
You lied.
Oh.
There was one more question.
Shit, you're right. I would say buy it, dude. Absolutely. And then give us a ring and maybe we'll make a little road trip out there and we'll do some shooting.
Hell yes. Last question. Promise it's the last. Yeah. Tony just doesn't know how to scroll.
I'm dying over here.
You're fine.
That really messed me up.
The emoji.
Pause.
All right, collect yourself, because this is for you. How much are your classes? Want to get trained by the best?
Very flattering. Thank you so much. I don't know what I'm the best at. Probably dick jokes, but...
We're both pretty awesome at those. I wouldn't say you're the best.
I'm the best. I have the most experience with one. Fine. It depends on the class, dude. Reach out to me. You can email me at performancegun@gmail.com. You can send us a DM at Laugh and Load and just tell me what it's regarding. Or send me a DM at performancegun_training on Instagram. Reach out. We'll discuss it.
Different types of classes you offer?
Yeah. Anything from CCW to basic training to coaching for USPSA and intro to, like, performance pistol. Like, getting up to speed. Basically...
Fine-tuning and polishing to really hone in.
Yeah, basically the performance pistol. If you took a performance pistol class with me, it's going to get you basically ready to go into a competition. So, reach out. Those classes, it varies on location and range, because I can't control range fees. And if it's a group class or a private class, so I would just tell you just to reach out and, yeah, we can get something set up.
Awesome. That was the last question.
Indeed.
In addition to contacting you for classes through Performance Gun Training on Instagram or through email, you can reach either of us on Instagram or Facebook or any of the social medias. We're everywhere at Laugh and Load. You can reach out to us through email at pewtimepodcast@gmail.com. Send either one of us direct messages. Most of these questions actually came in our direct message inbox. Quite a few of them.
Yeah, I would say quite a few. Not all of them.
Well, no, not all of them. I would say, like, you know, half of them came from Laugh and Load, and the other half were split equally between, mm-hmm. you know, messages to you and messages to me regarding, you know, things that people wanted us to answer for the podcast. So keep sending those questions. Those were absolutely fantastic. We had so much fun.
Yep. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.